Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Perry and I originally, we were going to go the way of the culture, okay? Because we figured we had three services on Christmas Eve. So we figured that this would be a light Sunday, so we would only have two services. We'd have a 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. But then I started praying and thinking about it, and I said, that's what our culture would do, right? So I said, we'll do all three services. So we decided to do all three. And then talking to Pastor Perry, we decided that we'd preach because people want to hear the Word of God, all right? In the old school, what you would do is you'd have a hymn sing to make it easy on the pastors, okay? And maybe have communion, all right? But we feel preaching God's Word is very important, okay? And it continually changes us. So here I am. And we decided that we'd both preach on the Incarnation. Pastor preached on it on Christmas Eve, and I'm preaching on it again. And I'm using some of my old material. I know many of you have heard it, those who have been listening to me for 14 years. God bless you, okay? God bless you. First slide, okay? In the beginning, before anything was created, there was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And God existed before anything was created. And then what happened? God created everything, right? Separated light and darkness, created the earth and all the animals. And then God created Adam and Eve. And this is the coolest thing, I think, is one of my favorite verses is when God was walking in the garden with them. How cool is that? You think they had a pretty good life? Walking with God. Wow. Imagine walking in the garden, just hanging out with God, yeah. You think you had to worry about stubbing your toe? No, absolutely not. No thorns or anything, okay. Just walk right, you know. Walking with God. But, us being how we are, okay, what happened? Next slide. Now, by the way, this did give me an opportunity to explore my PowerPoint skills, okay. What I don't like about this is the arrows pointing the wrong way, because Adam and Eve rejected God, all right? We rejected God. But what I do like about it is you notice that Adam and Eve are separated now. Because when we sin, we not only separate ourselves from God, we separate ourselves from others, all right? Isn't that true? Complete separation. And remember what we had before. We're walking in the garden with God. And this is our situation. So how can we get back to God? There's no way, right? No way for us to get back to God, all right? Now, God takes care of the situation for us. And there's an arrow missing. I had an arrow underneath the sun. Because what God does is he sends his son to restore us back into that relationship we had in the Garden of Eden, where we're walking with God, all right? Next slide. So how does he do it? Mary has a baby, right? And Mary's the mother, and who's the father? God, right? Even though today's text, I love today's text, because it does talk about Joseph, but it makes it clear that Joseph is not Jesus' father, right? God is his father, all right? So we have Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect man. He lives without sin. But he's God also, right? He's God and man. Next slide. Now, resurrection is supposed to be over by the lightning and the arrow that's going up, okay? I knew you guys would understand, all right? It was over there when I sent it, but it just... something crashed and burned. Anyway, birth is underneath the heart. So out of the love of God... that's what Christmas is about, right? God comes to earth, and we have the birth of Christ, all right? That's not enough, though. On the cross, God dies on the cross for us in the person of Jesus Christ, right? He dies on the cross for us. But does he stop there? No. I love that little lightning bolt, okay? We have the resurrection. He rose from the dead, all right? And the resurrection is so important for us as Christians, okay? The incarnation is too, and the incarnation is simply God putting on flesh and becoming a human being. All right? But the resurrection is so important. Because by the resurrection we know Jesus is who he said he is. All right? Because he said he would die and rise in 3 days, and he did. All right? Nobody else has ever done that. Okay, next slide. What happens? Through Jesus, humankind, that would be us, or Adam and Eve if you want to say, were restored back in that relationship with God, just like the Garden of Eden. All right? And if we live our lives in that relationship with God, now we may stub our toes, okay? But we're not alone, right? We're not alone. And in this relationship, we have peace, we have love, we have harmony. We have peace, not just with God, but also with each other, all right? We experience that here at Amazing Grace, right? Because when we're all in relationship with God, it puts us in a right relationship with each other, right? How cool is that, all right? So that's the result. And would this be possible without Jesus Christ? No. Without Jesus Christ, we're the separate circles, right? And separated from God and one another. So why do we reject God? Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us the answer. Verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Next slide. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Amen. And isn't that what the world tells us? That what we believe is silly? Pardon? Repeatedly, right? Now just, if we use our common sense a second, does this sound like something a human being would think up? No, because the first thing it says is that we're sinners, right? So do we want to admit that we're sinners? Absolutely not. So it comes from God, and this is the wisdom of God. Although I messed up the PowerPoint, believe it or not, that's the wisdom of God, all right? And what he wants is to live in that relationship with us. The other night we had, yesterday for Christmas dinner, we had some friends over and some people I met for the first time. I didn't expect them to be there. And one of my son's friends brought a girlfriend with him who I hadn't met. And she was 20-something, I guess, and we started talking, and I asked, naturally, I said, "I'm a pastor, so I have to ask you, where do you worship?" And she said, "Well, I don't." And I said, "Well, were you raised in the church?" And she said, "Well, I was raised Catholic, and then I did the Christian thing, but now I don't do anything." And I wish you would have been there, Kelly, all right? Because I was trying to be polite, and I just couldn't think of anything, and part of it was I was just tired. I was just tired. The day after Christmas, I'm tired. Or Christmas Eve, I'm tired. So, but there's so many people out there who have tried religion, and they've tried Christianity, all right? And they say, been there, done that. Isn't that what we run into? But have they tried Jesus? See, that's what it's about. It's about Jesus. And once you're in that relationship with Jesus, then the lights go on. And what people think is foolishness, we understand to be the wisdom of God. And it's natural that they would not understand it, right? It's natural. And Paul and the early disciples faced it, right? And we face it in a big way in this country right now, right? Because they're saying Christianity is foolish. And for the first time in our lives, okay, for us boomers out there, okay, and for the parents of us boomers, you have to really be shocked to have this anti-Christian sentiment, all right? But it's against, what they're anti is anti-Christian, not anti-Jesus. But we haven't turned them on to Jesus. The relationship with Jesus Christ makes everything make sense, right? And then we realize that, yes, we're Christians, but we're still sinners. And we're still going to make mistakes. And we're still going to say stupid things, all right? But at the same time, we're walking with Him, okay? We're walking with Him. So I wish I would have had, as I was thinking about this, I wish I would have said, well, have you tried Jesus, okay? Because this young lady had never had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that changes everything. And recently, well, a couple things, but I have a wonderful card from Mike Hirschberger. You remember we were praying for him. His mother from Maryland was here at some services with us. He wrote us a wonderful card thanking us. What he writes is, I have over 4 months clean and sober and just finished my full semester at college with straight A's. For this and for so many other things, I am extremely blessed. You have both inspired me in so many things, but most importantly, my walk with Christ. He shows me every single day how amazing His grace really is. See, He's got it, right? He's got it. And we were talking before service, the Kapelkis, we were joking about AJ, that Chrissy's little son. He's got it. He's 4 years old, 5 years. He's got it, you know. He gets up to do a kid talk, and he does the kid talk, you know. We ask the questions, and he preaches, all right, all the time, okay. So he's got it, but it's so easy to slip away also. And I've talked with Crystal, who's in jail, and I talked with her about talking about her, mentioning her in a sermon. And Crystal is a mother of three, who's incarcerated right now for doing meth, okay? She came here and the entire family was clean and sober and doing great, okay? And when I went to visit her for the first time in jail, I went and visited her, and she sobbed the whole time I was there. She sobbed the entire time, okay? And I just said, well, you remember when you used to come and how good things were before, you know, and you'd come to church. Well, that's not a coincidence, okay? She was walking with Jesus, right? But it's so easy to lose that, whether it's drugs or money or what busyness of the season, it's so easy to lose that. But God continually knocks on our door. Jesus is continually there reaching out to us in love, saying, walk with me. Accept me. Walk with me. But we still got that Adam and Eve in us, right? And that's a continual battle. But once we got it, once you taste Jesus and really taste Him, do you want to go back to anything else? No, right? And brothers and sisters, for us as the church, that's what we have to do. Okay, Pastor Perry and I, we're trained as pastors, so we got all this number things. We've thrown the number things out the window, all right? And what we're realizing is it doesn't matter. What matters is this, okay, is changed lives. This is what matters, right? It doesn't matter if we have a gazillion people in here. If nobody's life has changed, we might as well be a country club, right? It's not why we're here. We're here to love all people to Jesus Christ. And I think the Lord has told Pastor Perry and I that more than anything this year. More than anybody else in the church. The Lord has taken us to task okay? This is where it's at, okay? So right now what we're going to do is we're going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to have Pastor Perry lead us in prayer. And what we're going to pray for, okay, is we're going to pray for ourselves to renew our relationship, that we walk with God as He intended. But also think of someone, family member, friend, loved one, anybody who you want to have walk with Jesus the way we walk with Jesus, okay? Or the way we try to walk with Jesus, okay? Just close your eyes and think of that person and also recommit our own lives, because do we need to recommit to Jesus? Every day, right? So, Pastor?
And I'd also like you to first picture yourself, just yourself, with Jesus. He's holding your hand. Lord Jesus, this is our last worship service for the 8 o'clock service for this year. We look at the past year, we look at our lives, and we're like Adam and Eve. We do have that Adam and Eve in all of us, every single one of us. And we have hopes and dreams. We had them for this year, and some maybe came to pass, others did not. So, Lord Jesus, we want to get closer to You. If anything we've done this past year, by what we've said or done or not done, has pulled us away from You, Lord, remove that distance right now. Remove any distance that has been created this past year or the years or decades. Lord, we want to be right next to You. So in our mind, we see You coming to us with open arms of grace and mercy and love that is beyond measure. And because You come to us, we are drawn by Your love right into Your heart, right into Your chest, Lord, and to receive that hug. We feel Your love right now just holding us and supporting us and strengthening us and loving all over us and giving us hope for this new year coming up. It feels so good to be in Your presence. It's not the angry accusation and critical voice of religiosity, of religious spirit, of do's and don'ts and appearances and failures and harshness. It's Your love. And now, Holy Spirit, as we're in this great relationship with You, we look and we see loved ones miles away from You. Crooked roads, steep roads, wide roads going all over the place. Darkness all around us. We're in Your light, but there's darkness all around. And now, Lord, we picture our loved ones that are not close to You, or not, don't even have a relationship with You. Of course, we can't judge, but Lord, we're concerned. Because we know it's about eternity for people's souls. So now, Lord, we picture You, Jesus. We see the concern in Your face even more than in our faces and in our hearts. And Father, Your heart breaks for Your children more than ours does even. You're the perfect parent. And even though You're a perfect parent, even Your kids fall away. We see Your Spirit. And we ask, Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask that You would bring Your light, little lights and lanterns, to go into the hearts of our loved ones right now. Whatever situation it needs to be, whoever it needs to be, Lord, we're not in control. Forgive me for trying to be in control. And I release to You my loved ones. I surrender them to You because You're the Almighty One and there's nothing is too difficult for You. So I ask, Lord, that You would create new pathways and new roads to those people that are bright and light and lit up. And they can see this road that brings them back to God, back to You, Jesus. And it's only one road, and it's the cross. And behind that cross is that lightning bolt of the powerful resurrection of the risen Christ. And may that lightning bolt of transformation, of resurrection power, open their eyes for the first time, or once again, to see who You are, Lord. And we've clouded the vision, many of us in the church, we've clouded the vision of who Jesus is. So, Lord, as we are about to enter a new year, with having just celebrated who You are, Jesus, Savior of the world, we pray, Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it already is in heaven for these specific people. And Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.